Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yivamos Daf Lamed Vav. We left off on Daf Lamed Hey, based about 10 lines from the end of the page at Meisivei, which is the last word on the line, about 10 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Zechus Refuah Shleima for Esther Bas Sara. Also sponsored by Zechus Refuah Shleima for Tova Bas Golda Ben Snita Walfish Feiberg and Willens families. We wish both a Cholim and Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. And we thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So again, we're holding 10 lines from the end of the page. I have to apologize in advance. I overslept this morning, so I don't really know what is in today's daf. We'll sort of figure it out as we go. But it seems to me that it is a continuation of the machlokas that we had yesterday between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where we had this machlokas that what if a person does chalitza or yibum animu uberes, and a woman who is already pregnant. And then it turns out that she actually taka required chalitza or yibum because the baby was a nefel. The pregnancy didn't come to full term. So did that chalitza slash yibum work, or did that chalitza slash yibum not work? So Reish Lakish had said that Rabbi Yochanan had said that tzricha chalitza mina achin, that the chalitza did not work, and Reish Lakish says Rabbi Yochanan says ein tzricha chalitza mina achin, rather the chalitza did work, and Reish Lakish says tzricha chalitza mina achin. So the Gemara explained that Rabbi Yochanan holds chalitza smuberes, shma chalitza, bia smuberes, shma bia, that it counts as a chalitza, it counts as a bia, and Reish Lakish had said, holds that chalitza smuberes, lo shma chalitza, bia smuberes, lo shma bia, that it does not count as a chalitza, it does not count as a bia. So we started bringing rayos back and forth. Which shita is correct? Is a chalitza or a bias muberes a valid chalitza or bia? So it seems that we're going to be focusing mostly on the shita of Reish Lakish. The Gemara is going to paskin like Reish Lakish on a number of important matters at some point in the daf, and the Gemara is going to continue to discuss a case of nichnasa beisr, where a person did bia, did yibum beisr with the yavama. So we'll see. The details, I guess, as we go. So we are holding, again, 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Lamed Hayam Beis. So Meisvei, we have a Braisa. Hakone says Yivim Tov Vimnim Seis Muberes. If a person does Yibum on his Yivama, and it turns out she's pregnant, Harezo Lotinase Tsarasa. The other wives of the deceased brother are not allowed to get married. Shemi Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama, because maybe this was a Vlad Ben Kayama, maybe this pregnant woman who was also a wife of the deceased brother is carrying his child, and it turns out that the fellow who died actually had children, so therefore the other wives are not allowed to get remarried. Frek the Gemara, what? That's not the rule. Adraba, Kiavi Avlad Ben Kayama, if the deceased had children, right, if the deceased's almana, one of the almanas of the deceased is actually carrying a Ben Kayama and he had children, Miftaratzarasa, that means that there's no Yibum, it means there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza, it means that all of them are regular almanos that are free to go and get married to whoever they want. So what do you mean that I'll get married? No, what we mean to say is the opposite, that if a person is konis as yivimto, and it turns out that she is pregnant, the tsaros are not allowed to get married because maybe the vlad is not a ben kayama, and if the vlad is not a ben kayama, it turns out that there is a requirement of yibum and chalitza because the deceased did not have any children, and therefore they require yibum and chalitza. One of them already did yibum, yeah, but that's not a valid yibum because she was pregnant. So v'yisal kadaituch bias mu beres shma bia, but if you're going to say that yibum on a mu beres does count as a bia, does count as a yibum, so like Rabbi Yochanan had said, then amaylo tinase tsarasa, then why can't the other wives get married? Yibum has already been done on one of the women. Tifta on one of the women. Tifta bibia shel chavirta. Let all the other women be potter with the bia that happened with this one. So Gemara amra baye bibia. It must be that everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Reish Lakish, that a bias mu'uberes is not a yibum, that doesn't count, that will not pater her, it will not pater her tzaros. The yibum, the yibum slash chalitza would still need to get done. Ki pligi b'chalitza, the whole machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Ish Lakish is about chalitza smu uberes. Rabbi Yochanan tzavar chalitza smu uberes shma chalitza. Bias muberes lo shma bia. Rabbi Yochanan says that while a chalitza smu uberes does count as a chalitza, a bias muberes does not count as a bia. Reish Lakish tzavar bias muberes lo shma bia v'chalitza muberes lo shma chalitza. And Reish Lakish says it's consistent. If the woman is pregnant, there is no chalitza and there is no yibum, and therefore there's no kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from the brisa, because the brisa said that the other tzaros are not allowed to get married because of a chashash that maybe the vlad is not a ben kayama, and the tzaros require yibum, and the first bia that this pregnant woman did is not really called the bia lukuli alma, and therefore the tzaros still require, they're still going to require yibum the chalitza. The Ritva raises the question that according to Abaye, right? Abaye is the one that's giving this answer, that everyone agrees that bias that a bias muberes is lo shma bia. Why is it that Rabbi Yochanan is moda by bia, that it's not called the bia, whereas by chalitza he's not moda? Meaning he gives an answer that fits the sources, it fits the brisa, but it doesn't really come with svara. What's the svara to assume that a chalitza on a muberes no good, but is good rather, but a bia on a muberes is not going to count as a yibum? The svara and the pasuk that we derived Rabbi Yochanan's shita from in yesterday's daf is the same for bia and chalitza. It makes no distinction whatsoever as far as bia and chalitza is concerned. I mean, we said iba yisei mekra, iba yisei mesvara. The iba yisei mekra and the iba yisei mesvara make no such distinction. So the Ritva suggests that by a bia there's a chashash iser, because maybe she's going to be tailored a vlad kayama. Maybe she'll give birth to a vlad kayama. So the halacha is that a bias iser is it would make sense that the bias iser should not be kona minatora, because it's a bias iser, because at the time that you're having the bia, you don't know that the vlad is not going to be a ben kayama, so it might be a bias iser. So we can't allow a bias iser, what is in that moment a bias iser, to be kona minatora. But by a chalitza, there's no chashash iser in a chalitza. There's no risk in a chalitza. Tosa Rash understands within Reish Lakish that the drasha of ayena love is dafka by yibum, that it's going on the phrase yivama yavo aleha. So it's not mafkia chalitza. We say that it's just that kol she'eno liyibum eino ola lechalitza, that it's just memela, that if a yibum is not going to work, then chalitza can't work either. And Abaye holds that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that klal. That Rabbi Yochanan says, I get it, ayena love, and therefore you're not allowed to do yibum, but I don't hold of the equation that just because you're not allowed to do yibum, mimela you're not allowed to do chalitza either. And that's where Rabbi Yochanan gets this distinction between yibum and chalitza. So that is Abaye's understanding, that Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish agree when it comes to a bia anu muberes that it does not accomplish anything. So Amalei Rava, so Rava says, I don't understand. Manavshach, I bias muberes shma bia, chalitzas muberes shma chalitza. If a bias muberes counts as a bia, the chalitzas muberes should count as a chalitza. V bias muberes lo shma bia, chalitzas muberes nami lo shma chalitza. And if a bia anu muberes does not work, then a chalitza anu muberes should not work either. Why? Da kaimelan, because we have a klal, the kala olu liyibum olu lechalitza, like we just pointed out, that any time a yavama is eligible for yibum, she's also eligible for chalitza. V'kol she'en olu liyibum ein olu lechalitza, and any time she's not eligible for yibum, she's not eligible for chalitza either, to be matir or teshuk, to go get remarried al yaday such a chalitza. So how could we be mechalek within the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan to say that a bias muberes is not called a bia because she's not a bas yibum, and that you're going to need to do yibum again, whereas a chalitza muberes counts as a chalitza? If the bia is not a bia and it doesn't count as yibum, the chalitza should not count as a chalitza either. Ella amar Rava, so Rava says differently than Abaye. Hachi ka'amar. Here's how we explain Rabbi Yochanan. Hakoni sivimto v'minitzeris muberes. If a person does yibum on his yivama and it turns out that she is pregnant, harezo lo tinase tzarasa, then her tzara is not allowed to get married. Shema ye'avlad ben kayama. Because maybe the vlad is going to be a vlad ben kayama, And ubias muberes lo shma bia, v'chalitzas muberes lo shma chalitza. And any bia and any chalitza that you do on a pregnant woman is not going to count. We raise the question that doesn't make any sense. Then why can't the tsaros get married? The husband had children. If the husband had children, that's the ABCs of yibum. You only enter a yibum situation if the man didn't have any children. Va'avlad eino poter achiyetzi lavir ha'olam. It's true that if he had children, then they don't require Yibum Chalitza, but the Vlad will only pater from Yibum Chalitza once the Vlad is actually born. Kolzman, that he's not Yotza La'avira Olam, Kolzman, that he has not breathed the air of this world, it's not considered that the husband had any children, and therefore she's Asura L'shuk, even if the Vlad is a Vlad Ben Kayama. So she's not allowed to get married. She has to wait until the Vlad is Yotze La'avira Olam. So the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is both by Bias Muberes and by Chalitza Muberes, whether it's considered Bia or Chalitza. So the Gemara brings a Raya to Rava, that Vlad is not Matir Yavama and not Matir the Tzara L'shuk until he's Yotze La'avir Olam, meaning when one of them is pregnant and the woman goes to the doctor and the doctor says, perfectly healthy pregnancy, there's nothing wrong over here, this baby's going to be fine, the other women are not allowed to get remarried yet. They have to wait until the baby is born and they see that he's not a Nefel and they see that he's Yotze La'avir Olam. So Tanya Kavase de Rava, we have a Brisa that supports Rava. Hakonis Yivim Tovinim Tseis Muberes, if a person marries his Yivama and it turns out that she's pregnant, Harezu Lotina Se Tsarasa, then the other Tsaros are not allowed to get married. Why? Shema Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama, because the baby might be viable. Ve'ein Bias V'Chalitza Poteres Ela Vlad Poter. It's not that Bia or Chalitza of a pregnant woman would not potter others from their Zika. A Vlad would potter others from the Zika when one of the women is pregnant, when one of the wives is pregnant. Va'Vlad Ena Poter Achiyas Elavir Olam. So you can't have a better brisa as far as explicitly stating exactly what Rav had said, that the Vlad is only going to pater when he's actually Yotze La'avira Olam. Only after the Vlad is born does the Yavama and the Tzara become pater from requiring Yibum V'Chalitza, and are they Mutter Linasi L'Shuk. So ask the Gemara, from this price it could be Medayik, Taimed Shemiyeh Vlad Ben Kayamahu. The reason that the Bias Yavama, that the Bias Muberes did not work is because the Vlad might be a Ben Kayama, and then the Yavama is not going to be pater, is not going to be exempted with the Chalitza or the Bia, because if the Vlad is a Ben Kayama, it's the Leidas HaVlad that's going to pater her. But hello, have you a Vlad Ben Kayama? But the Diuk to make, you don't have to be such a Lamdan to make the Diuk, that if the Vlad would not be a Ben Kayama, if the Vlad is a Nefel, and then it turns out that she really required Yibum, Miftara Tsarasa, then the other Tsaros are going to be exempt with the Bia that you've already done on the Muberes. So don't you see, Shma Bia, that a Bias Muberes does count as Bia? It only doesn't count when she's carrying a Vlad Ben Kayama, because if she's carrying a Vlad Ben Kayama, there's no need for Yibum V'Chalitza, then you need to wait for the Vlad. But if she's not carrying a Vlad Ben Kayama, then even though she is a Mu'uberes, the Bia is going to count, and the Yavam is not going to have to do Yibum again. They're not going to have to, the one of the other Tzaros are not going to require anything. So Lema Tavit Yuftad Reish Lakish, maybe this price is a Kasha and Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish held that a Bias Mu'uberes, who then miscarries, is not considered a Bia, the Chalitza is not considered a Chalitza. The Brisa, the Diuk from the Brisa tells us that if the Vlad is not a Bar Kayama and you do Yibum on the on the Yavama, so the other Tzaros are Pata from Bia, because the Bias Muberes is Shema Bia. So Amalach Reish Lakish will respond, no, don't be Goreis within the Brisa, Shema Yehei Havlad Ben Kayama. Hachi Katani, this is the Girsa in the Brisa. Hakoni Sivim Tovinun Seis Muberes. A man marries his Yavama, she turns out to be pregnant. Harezol Lotinase Tzarasa. The other wives cannot get married. Shema lo yehei avlad ben kayama, because maybe the baby won't be viable. The chalitzas muberes lo shma chalitza bias muberes lo shma bia, and therefore you haven't done anything. The reason the other tzaros are not allowed to get married is because all you've done is you've done bia, or meaning yibum, on a muberes, and bia on a muberes, chalitza on a muberes accomplishes nothing. So if the vlad is a ben kayama, so then you'll be fine, because the vlad will be born and that will pater everybody and it'll be fine. But if the vlad is not a ben kayama, that's where there's going to be a concern, because then all you did was a yibum on a muberes. Karis, and that doesn't count according to Reish Lakish. The fact that the Brisa says that the Vlad is only, the Gemara is now going to deal with the last line of the Brisa, the Brisa said, and that the reason you're not scot-free, you don't get to, she doesn't, the women don't get to go marry whoever they want at this point, is because the Vlad only patters when he's Yotze La'avira Olam. So it sounds like we're talking about a Vlad Ben Kayama. It sounds like we're not talking about a Nefel. So Im Tomar, Halecha Charov Nashim, maybe you're going to say, follow Rov Nashim Vlad Ma'aliyah Yiladan, meaning why would you be choshesh that it's an Eifel? Most pregnancies result in a Bar Kayama. They give birth to a healthy baby. So even though the Bia is not a Bia, but be somech on the Rov, that the Vlad will be a Ben Kayama, and therefore the deceased brother has a child. So neither she, the woman that you're trying to do Yibam with, nor any of her tzaros require Yibam at all. And they can all get married right away if you rely on the Rov, because you could assume that the man had children. So that's why the Brisa adds that even if there's the child is a Bar Kayama, there's still going to be a Zika, there's still going to be something that needs to be done, because Vlad in Poter Achiyetz L'Avira Olam, because the Vlad is not going to potter anybody until the Vlad comes out into the Avira Olam. So we're going to see that psak halacha in the Gemara very soon about paskening like Reish Lakish. But Amar Reb Lazar, efshar isa lahad Reish Lakish, could it be that we pasken like Reish Lakish, who holds that bias mu'beres and chalitzas mu'beres counts for nothing, that it's invalid to do a bia or a chalitza mu'beres, velot nan lo b'mas nisin, and none of the Mishnayos bear that out. None of the Mishnayos make any reference to that. The Aruch Lener explains that it was pashut Reb Lazar that there is a Mishnah like Reish Lakish, because if they argue on a pasuk and they argue on a svara, and meaning like we said yesterday, Yibay say makra, Yibay say misvara, that there is a reasonable position that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have a reasonable position based on the pasukim and based on svara, and there's no clear hechra to go like one of them. So when the Gemara brings a raya from a brisa like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish has to change the girsa, so there must have been a reason to do that, meaning if Rabbi Yochanan's position is reasonable and Reish Lakish is going to see a brisa that goes in the other direction and he's going to change the girsa, there must have been a Mishnah that was on Reish Lakish's side, that was in Reish Lakish's head, that said that I have to stick to my guns and that I have to assume that my position is correct. So that's where Reb Lazar wonders, he marvels, how could it be that we pass him like Reish Lakish and there's no Mishnah that goes like Reish Lakish, so I have to do something about that. So Nafak Dak Biashkach, he went out and he looked and he searched and he went to the library all day until he found a Mishnah that follows like Reish Lakish. Ditznan, Ha'isha Shalach Bailu V'tzaras L'Medina Siyam. The Mishnah tells us a woman goes with her husband and her co-wife L'Medina Siyam. They go away for Pesach or something, and when they left, the man didn't have any children. Ubo V'yamrula, and then they come back and they tell the woman that Meis Ba'aleich, meaning, I'm sorry, the woman didn't go. The husband and the tzara went L'Medina Siyam, and they left this woman home to man the home front. So the man took a vacation with the other wife, and this wife stayed home. So then someone comes and tells her that Meis Balech, your husband died. Harezu lo tinase, she's not allowed to do chalitza or get remarried. Velo tisyavim, nor can she do yibum achetei d'shemu beres yitzarasa, until she's able to ascertain whether the tzara was pregnant or not, because the husband went away, the Medina Siyam, with the tzara. So if the tzara is pregnant, she doesn't need yibum v'chalitza. So she can't go get married to l'shuk. She can't do a yibum either until she knows whether the tzara was pregnant. So the Gemara explains, Bish lam yibum elo. I understand why she can't do yibum, because you're choshesh, maybe the tzara was pregnant, and if the tzara was pregnant, there's no chiv of yibum, and if there's no chiv of yibum, and you do a yibum, you're violating an isser erva of eishas achiv shemiyei vlad ben kayama v'yipaga b'isser eishas achdo raisa, because maybe the vlad is a vlad ben Kayama, and therefore it's an Isra Vesha Sachta Raisa. I understand you're going to tell her not to get remarried because there's going to be a chashash that the Vlad is a Nefel and she requires chalitza, so she can't just go and get remarried in the meantime. But why can't she do chalitza? What would be so terrible if she did chalitza? Wouldn't that cover her miman of shuch? Meaning if there is a Vlad that's Ben Kayama, she doesn't even need the chalitza and she's good to get remarried. And if there was no Vlad Ben Kayama, then she needs a chalitza and the chalitza will work. So Bishlam, I understand that we say not to do chalitza within 9 months of the husband's death, v'tinase b'toch tisha, and getting married within that time, I understand, lo, not to do that, because hainu safek, because that is the safek that we spoke about, that we have to be choshesh, that maybe the tzara is mu'uberes, that maybe she's pregnant, she's going to give birth to a Vlad ben Kayama, and then the chalitza and the yibam are not going to pater. It's only the leidas havlad that's going to pater, so she's still asurul l'shuk. El tachlutz b'toch tisha v'tinase l'achar tisha. But why can't she do chalitza within the 9 months of the husband's death, and then get married after 9 months from the husband's death? Then she's going to be mutaris l'shuk mimanoshuk. Then if the tzara gave birth to a vlad that's einor shel kayama, the tzara was never pregnant to begin with, so it turns out that the husband died without any children, and she requires a chalitza, and the chalitza that she does is perfectly fine. The chalitza that she does within those 9 months should help, and by chalitza smuberes, meaning, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, chalitza smuberes works. And if the tzara gave birth to a vlad shel kayama after 9 months, the vlad was already yotze la avira olam after the 9 months. So it turns out the husband had children, and she never needed a yibam or a chalitza, so she's muteris l'shuk. So why don't we allow her to do chalitza within the 9 months and let her get remarried after the 9 months? It must be that we're choshesh that the tzara was muuberes at the time of the chalitza, and she gave birth to a vlad she'eino shel kayama. So you require a chalitza, but the chalitza that we didn't work. Why did the chalitza we do not work? Because it was chalitzas muuberes. So this Mishnah is a raya to Reish Lakish that a chalitzas muuberes does not work. So the Gemara asks on Rav Lazar, l'taymech, according to you, you're explaining the Mishnah that she's not allowed to do chalitza and get married because of the chashash, that maybe she did the chalitza when the tzara was already pregnant, and the chalitza smuberes doesn't work, so then why can't she get married until she knows whether the tzara is muberes even many years later? Tachlots v'tinasi l'achatisha. The Mishnah didn't say let her get married after 9 months. The Mishnah says she's not allowed to get remarried until she knows exactly what happened with the tzara, whether she was pregnant or not. Why? Just wait 9 months, and in 9 months she'll be allowed to get remarried. Ella barmine dahi. It must be that you cannot bring a raya from this Mishnah to Reish Lakish when it says in this Mishnah or this Braisa that she shouldn't do chalitza within 9 months and get married after 9 months. It's not because of chashash hetzri yavam l'shuk. It's because of a totally different concern. Da'abai barab of Rav Chinna barabaye damri tarvayu. Two of the gedolei amoraim both said that the reason she needs to wait and not to do chalitza until she knows whether the tzara is pregnant is shemiye vlad ben kayam. That maybe the vlad of the tzara is a ben kayama. So it turns out that the chalitza is totally unnecessary, and she's not a chalutza, and therefore she's ksher lakuna. But since there are people that saw that she went through the process of a chalitza, it's an unusual thing to have a chalitza. People always look and they want to see, and it's something yeshiva boys come, if the couple is comfortable with it, they come to watch it, and they put it on YouTube, and they have so it's everyone is going to know that there was a chalitza that went on, and they're not going to know that the chalitza was really just a show, that it didn't really mean anything, because she didn't even require chalitza, and they're going to be machzikar, someone who's pasul l'kuna. V'nimtza at matzricha karz l'kuna. You're going to require this chalutza, this fake chalutza, to have announcements made. Bezin is going to have to be machriz that everyone should know that she's ksheru l'kuna and that the chalitza doesn't pasul her. So in order that Bezin shouldn't have to be machriz, they shouldn't have to pay for advertising in the newspapers that the woman is not a chalutza. So he said not to do chalitza until you know for sure whether the tzara was mu'uberes, in order to know whether she taka needs a chalitza or not. So that's all the Braisa was trying to tell us. So says Gemara v'litzricha. So what's the big deal if Bezin has to take out ads in the newspapers? Meaning why because of the chashash that they're going to have to announce that she's not allowed to, they're going to have to announce that she's not a chalitza, are we going to ask her to get married until she finds out whether the tzara was mu'beres or not? Dilma ike inish davi b'chalitza v'lavi b'achraza. No, we don't want to rely on achraza because not everybody hears achrazos. Meaning it's like an apology, right? If someone insults someone publicly, everybody hears about it. And then he says, my apologies, you know, at some later point, no one hears about the apology because who wants to talk about an apology? That's not exciting. It's much more exciting to hear about, to hear the gossip. So everyone's going to hear about the chalitza. No one's going to be interested in the hachraza. It's the correction in the newspaper, right? What does it really do? No one's going to be. So asil lemeimar, kashari chalutza l'kohen. And people are going to think that they're allowing a chalitza to marry a kohen, which is obviously something that we're not allowed to do. So the Gemara asks Rav Lazar, who brought a raya from the Braisa to Reish Lakish, Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, well, to Rabbi Lazar, midi lo tachlos v'lo tisyabim katani. Did I miss something in this brisa? Did the brisa say she can't do a chalitza because maybe the tzar is pregnant? That you're saying that chalitza's mubaris is not a chalitza and she can't get married even if she did a chalitza? Lo tinasi v'lo tisyavim katani. If you look at the words of the brisa, didn't even mention chalitza. It said she cannot get remarried and she cannot do a yibum. So below chalitza, unless she does a chalitza. Meaning, you cannot rely and assume that since most women are give birth to a vlad shel kayama, then it must be that the tzar gave birth to a Vlad Shel Kayama and therefore she doesn't require a chalitza. Avli chalitzla, but if you did the chalitza within 9 months, hachinami desharia. Maybe in a chinami, that after 9 months she's free to go. When the Brisa just wasn't talking about a chalitza, so how can you, Rabbi Lazar, bring a raya from the Brisa? That a chalitza's mubaris doesn't work from the fact that the Brisa didn't allow her to do a chalitza within 9 months. The Brisa didn't not allow her to do a chalitza during 9 months. The Brisa didn't talk about doing a chalitza during the 9 months. The Brisa was only talking about getting her remarried, but maybe in a chinami, if she did a chalitza in the middle of those 9 months, she'd be allowed to get remarried after the 9 months. So Gemara brings another raya to Reish Lakish. Tanya kavasi to Reish Lakish. Let's bring another raya to Reish Lakish's opinion. Hacholitz lumberis v'yipila tzri chalitza mina achin. If you did chalitza on a pregnant woman and then it didn't work out, she miscarried the baby, so then tzri chalitza mina achin. She's going to need another chalitza. So even though at the end of the day there was no baby, nevertheless, since the chalitza was at a time that she was pregnant, you see that the chalitza is invalid, and that's exactly Shitas Reish Lakish. Amarava hilsa kavasid Reish Lakish bahani tlas chada hada amaran, that the halacha is like Reish Lakish in three matters of halacha. One of them is our case, that a bias mubaris and a chalitza's mubaris is not a bia, is not a chalitza. So that's one. And so now we came to a clear halacha conclusion that we paskin like Reish Lakish. Now that we have a clear brisa that says like Reish Lakish, so now we're going to say the other two cases where we also pass on like Reish Lakish. Idach ditnan hamachalik nechas v'alpiv. A person divides up his estate to his yorshim before he dies. But he's not saying that he's dividing it up as a yerusha. He's giving it as a matana. That he's giving this as a matana to this yoresh and that as a matana to that yoresh. So riba le'echad, if he gives more, a little extra to one of his children, so umiyet le'echad, and a little less to another one of his children, v'ishvalahem es ha'bechar, or he evens out, he gives the bechar the same as all the other brothers, that the Bechar does not get Pishnayim as he's giving out these matanos, Devar of Kayam, and then it works. That's so they get what he said they're going to get, because a person has the ability to give whatever mammon he has as a matana to whomever he likes. So he was alive, he was giving matanos, he's allowed to give all the gifts that he wants. If he doesn't want to have much left for the Dina Yerusha, that's fine, he's giving gifts. V'im Amar Mishum Yerusha, but if he says that I'm dividing up my Yerusha and that this child should be Yorish this field and that child should be Yorish that field, and the Bechor is even with everybody else, Lomar Klum, then it's invalid, because Minat Torah, a Bechor gets Pishnayim B'nechzei Av, and the other brothers get even amounts. So he's by trying to make the Yerusha different, he's being Masnal Mashakasa B'Torah. He's going against the Dinim of Yerusha and the Torah, and anyone who's Masnal Mashakasa B'Torah, the halach is to know Batel. That's why people write wills, they have to make sure that it's halachically okay, that they do it in a way, in a language that works halachically as well. So Kasav Bein Bechila, if he writes when he's dividing up the Yerusha, he writes the Lashon Yerusha and the Lashon Matana, whether he writes the Lashon Matana Bechila at the beginning, like Tinasin Sadaplonis to this son and he should yarshin it, or Bein Besof, or he writes Lashon Matana at the end, he says that Yirash Bini Ploni Sadaplonis Vitinasin, and let it be given to him as a Matana. So somewhere in there, even though he's using Lashon Yerusha, he sticks in the Lashon Matana, or Bein Be'emtza, Yirash Bini Ploni Sadazu Vitinasin Lo V'Yirashena. He says he starts and ends with Yerusha, but throws in Vitinasin Lo in the middle. So then Mishumatana, at any point he says Mishumatana Dvar of Kayam, and then it's going to be considered like a Matana, and it's going to be valid. So so a person who tells who says that his Nechasim should go to two different people who are not his Yerushim, and if someone is Yorish a certain field and he says let someone be Yorish a certain field and give this field to Ploni, so he says to one of them Belashon Yerusha and the other one Belashon Matana. So Ravin says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that since he mentioned Belashon Matana, so everything is considered Matana, even the part that he says Belashon Yerusha, because the whole thing is considered Matana. The Amrei Shlakish, and on that Reish Lakish says that Liolam Lo Kana, that the din is not that way, that he's not Kona Ad Shiyo Yomar Ploni Ploni Yirshus Ad Plonis Uploni Uplonis Shenasatim LeMatan of Yirushim. That the guy who's mitzave Belashon Yerusha, that we say that he's giving a matana to one guy and Yerusha to another guy, it doesn't work because he has to say a Lashon of Yerusha and matana to everybody. The one who said the Lashon of Yerusha to is not Zocha in the Nechasim. So since at the time that he's mitzavah to both of them, he says Lashon Matana in the middle, where each of them, the Lashon Matana could be chal on each of them, then they're Zocha in their chelek. And we pass them like Reish Lakish on that as well. Meaning, so in that context, Reish Lakish had made this comment that Liolam Lokana Acheyomar Ploni Ploni Yirshu Sadaplonis Uplonis Shenasatim Lahem Bimatana. That Lashon Matana is chal on both of them, only then will it be considered a matana. V'idach, and what's the third case where we pass on like Reish Lakish? D'tanan, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Bava Basra. Hakosev kol nechasav lebno. A person, again, in Dina Yerusha, a person decides he's giving a matana of all of his nechasim to his child, la'achar moso. But it's only going to be chal after he dies. So he's being makna to his ben, me'achshav, all the nechasim, but he's leaving for himself the right to enjoy those nechasim and the achilas peros of those nechasim until he dies. So the father has the kinyan haperos in the nechasim, and the son has the kinyan haguf in the nechasim. So he's handing over the whole company, the whole factory, and he's saying, but I'm still running the factory while I'm alive, but you're already the owner of the factory. I just own the peros of the factory. So aveinu yachal limkar, the father is not able to sell the actual nechasim or the peros entirely to somebody else, because he already gave them to the son, and the guf doesn't belong to the father, and the zchus achilas peros is really only his as long as he's alive, so he can't really sell that on a permanent basis either, because even that is limited. He only kept it for himself for the next few years while he's still alive. The son is not allowed to sell the nechasim while the father's alive, because the father's the one in control. He has the kinyan peros on these nechasim, so he's holding on to the nechasim, and everything is under his control. So the son is not able to sell them because he was never actually mekabel the nechasim yet. So the Mishnah adds that if machara av, if the father went and he sold the nechasim anyway, mechurin atchi yamasu, then the achilas peros are considered sold to the buyer until the father dies, because the lokeach, that's what he bought. He bought whatever zechus the father has, and the zechus ha'av was in the achilas peros. Machara ben, if the son sells the nechasim, ein lokeach klum, the lokeach gets nothing, because the zechus achilas peros still belongs to the av, atchi yamasu av, so the lokeach gets nothing until the father dies. Once the father dies, then the lokeach gets everything, the peros and the nechasim, because then everything belongs to the son. Meaning, each one does have the right or the ability, even though they're not supposed to, the ability to sell whatever their rights are. The itmar, and we said in that context that machra ben mechaye av umes ha ben mechaye av. What if the son sold it while the father was alive, and then the son tragically predeceases the father? So Rabbi Yochanan amar lo kan lokeach. Then the lokeach gets nothing, because the lokeach was only buying rights that take effect after the father dies, that would then go to the son. But if there's not going to be a son after the father dies, then the lokeach gets nothing. But Reish Lakish amar kana lokeach, that the lokeach takes the place of the son. He's kona, the actual guf hanechasim, and he's zocha in the achilas peros after the father dies, because that's what the son owned. The son owned the actual guf hanechasim so long, even while the father was alive. So the son is therefore allowed to sell the guf hanechasim while the father's alive. It's just that it won't mean anything until the father dies. But once the father dies, this fellow takes the place of the son. So that's the sheet of Reish Lakish. That's the third place where we paskin like Reish Lakish. What's the svara for each side? Rabbi Yochanan amar lo kara lokeach kinyan peros kinyan guftami. Rabbi Yochanan says the lokeach is not kona the nechasim at all when the son predeceases the father, because the kinyan peros that the father has is like a kinyan guftami. So the father is considered to be the primary bailim of the nechasim. It's as if the guf hakarka belongs to him, because the peros are the primary usage of the karka, and the son can't sell the nechasim that belong to the father. When we said that if the son sells, the lokeach doesn't have anything in ad sheyamos ha'av, which implies that when the father dies, the Lukech is Zochah in it, that's only when the father dies first. And at the time that he dies, the Matana that he gave to his son is going to be Chal. And therefore, at that moment, when the father dies, since the Matana to the son is going to be Chal, Memela, the sale that the son did is also going to be Chal at that moment. Because a person is allowed to sell something that is a Zuchus that is coming to him later on. So if the son is saying, look, when my father dies, I'm going to have this Zuchus, and therefore, I'm going to sell you this Zuchus, that could be Chal as soon as the father dies. Whereas Reish Lakish Amar, no, Kana Lokech. Lokech is Kona, even when the son predeceases the father, because Kinyan Peros love Kinyan Aguf Dami. The father has a Kinyan Peros in these Lechasim, but that's not a Kinyan Aguf. He's not the real primary owner. The son is the primary owner, and since the son is the primary owner, he had every right to be selling it. Good. Then we said in the Mishnah that someone who marries a Yivama, and it turns out that she's pregnant and she gives birth, so we said, Eina Vlad Shel Kayama, that if the Vlad is not Shel Kayama, so Yikayim, then he could stay married to her. So Tanu Mishum Reb Lazar Amar Yotzi Begat, that they said in the name of Reb Lazar that even if it turns out Lemafreya that he was Konam her Minatora Beibum, they cannot stay married, because since he entered into his Suffikis or Karis of Eshes Ach, if the Vlad was a Bar Kayama, the Chamor goes there, you have to divorce her. You don't need a Chalitza, but you have to divorce her. So Amar Rava, Ramei Reb Lazar Amar Davar Echad. Ramei and Rabbi Eliezer are saying the same thing, that someone who marries a Muberes, that he's not going to be able to stay married to her, he's going to have to divorce her. Rabbi Elazar, Hada Amar. Rabbi Elazar is what we just said in the Braisa, that someone who's Kones Yisivimto and she's pregnant, so he has to divorce her, even if the Vlad is not a Bar Kayama and it turned out that she needed Yibum, can't stay married to her. Rabbi Meir, where does Rabbi Meir say something similar? Ditanya, Lo Yisad Muberes Chaveru Menex Chaveru. Allah, is he not allowed to marry someone who's pregnant from another man or who is nursing another man's baby? V'im Nasa, and if you do, Yotzi, V'lo Yaxer Lamas. Rameir says you have to divorce her and you can never marry her again. V'chamram yotzi, you cannot, you have to divorce her right now, but as soon as the 24 months of nursing are over and she's finished nursing the baby, then you're allowed to marry her. It's not a permanent thing. So I'm Abayis says, how do you know Rameir and Rabbi Elazar are saying dover echad, that they have to divorce forever? Dilmaloi, maybe that's not the case. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Elazar acha, el mishum tukupaga b'yisrei shesachta raisa, av l'hasam maybe over here you're violating where Rabbi Eliezer is going to say you're never allowed to get married to her because you're violating this Doraisa of Eishes Achiv. You're risking violating, she's pregnant. If this baby is a Bar Kayama, you're in violation of an Erva Midoraisa. That person needs to be punished. That even if the baby's not a Bar Kayama, he can never marry this woman. But a person who marries Mu, Baris Chaveiro, Meinekas Chaveiro, it's no Isidoraisa. It's an Isidorabanan that we're afraid she's not going to take care of the baby and it's going to be a Sakana to the baby, so no one's allowed to marry. So maybe it's enough of a knas to say they have to divorce her until the baby's 24 months old. Inami, or Ad Kan Lo Kam Rav Meir Hasam. Maybe Rav Meir only says about marrying Muberes Minex Chaveru El Mishum Drabanan V'Cham Mas Chizuk V'Vem Yosem Mishal Torah. Only because it's a Din Drabanan, and therefore we have to come down extra hard on it, because the Chacham sometimes have to be more strict in the Dinim Drabanan than in the Dinim D'Oraisa, since people don't naturally respect the Dinim Drabanan. Aval Hacha, but when you're Konis Es Yevimto, when she's Mu'beres, where you're entering into a Safek Eshes Achiv Midoraisa, where you're risking an Erva Doraisa, Mifresh Parshi Mino, we don't have to come down so hard on it, because most normal people aren't going to want to get involved in such a thing anyway, so we don't have to take like such a strong stance, because no one's going to want to do such a thing anyway. So how do you know that the two of them are in agreement with each other in these two totally different cases? So the Gemara explains the opinion of the Chachamim that disagree with Rav Meir, that say that someone who marries a Muberes has to divorce her. Amar Ravel, Dibrei Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, that someone who marries a Muberes has to divorce her until it comes time, it doesn't mean only to be porish from her. Yotzia Beget, it means that he has to actually divorce her. They have to become halachically divorced. It's not just that they can separate, that he can go on vacation somewhere and come back when the Zman is over. Ammar Zutra Dekanami, and it's Meduik this way, Dekatani Yotzi. It says Yotzi. Below Katani, Yafrish. It says, Yafim Daik in the Lashon. It says Yotzi. Yotzi means with a get. It doesn't say separate. So Shmami, no, you see that Yotzi means with a get. So the Gemara is going to discuss, according to the Chum, that you could be machzir her when the Zman comes, when the baby's 24 months old. What's the din by Muberes Umeinekes that got married to a Kohen, are you going to be makil not to divorce her? So that, meaning, if we're going to determine that for marrying Muberes Chavero or Meinekes Chavero, the punishment is not that, according to the Chavim, punishment is not that you're never allowed to marry her. Punishment is stay away from her until 24 months. That's all we're going to require. But we're requiring you to give a get in that time. Well, for a Kohen, by giving a get, it means that she's going to be us with him forever. So are we going to require a Kohen to do the same? Or are we going to require a Kohen to give a get? Or are we going to say, no, a Kohen could just separate so that he'll be able to have her back afterwards? Samlin Rav Ashi Rav Hashai Breid Ravidi Hasam Tanan. We learned in Masech HaShabbos from Shumul Gamliel Omer, Kol Sheshaha Ba'adam Shloshim Yom Eino Nefel. Anytime a baby comes out into the world and he lives for 30 days, then that baby is not a Nefel. It's considered that the father left a child behind and paters the mother from Chalitza. So the Gemara's Medayik sounds like Dafka if it was 30 days that he's not a Nefel. Halo Shaha Sveika Avi. But if the baby didn't live for 30 days, then we don't know if it's a Nefel. We said that if the Vlad dies within 30 days of birth, and the Yavama goes and accepts Kiddushin from someone Minashuk, not one of the brothers, because she thinks she doesn't need Yibum V'chalitza. So to Machlokas Amoraim, Ravina Mishmei Derava Amar, Im Eishes Yisrael Hi Chaletzes, that if she's an Eishes Yisrael, let her do Chalitza, V'im Eishes Kohen Hi Eino Chaletzes, but if she's an Eishes Kohen, and if you're going to require her to do Chalitza, she's going to become Asura to her husband, Midrabanan, so don't do Chalitza, because we don't want to Asura on her husband. Ramashashi Mishmei Derava Amar, Achazu V'achazu Chaletzes. No, you got to do chalitza. So Amalei Ravina, Rav Mesharshia, Boorta in the evening said, Amar Rava Hachi, Ubetzafra Hadar Bey. So he said in the evening, Rava said this way, and then in the morning, he changed his mind from what he said in the evening, and I heard that he holds that Nashis Kohen is allowed to stay and does not have to do chalitza based on this vlad that we're mesupak about. So Amalei Sharitu, Ye Rav Ditshtaru Avtarba, that you should be, you were matir that, you should be matir chalev also. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit tomorrow. We'll start with that tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
You too.